Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and we have been granted the opportunity to come together one more time just to worship and learn from the Lord. And we just want to take out the time right now just to invite the Holy Spirit to come be a part of this ministry. Come and open your heart as He gives you the answers to some of the things that you've been praying about, you've been waiting to hear. You've asked your colleagues, you've asked your family members, and now let's ask of the Lord, and let's wait as He do, just as He promised He would do. He will show up in our lives if you invite Him. He will take control, and He will answer your prayers. He will lead you towards your direction that brings you closer to Him. So if you're saying that you want to be closer to the Lord, and you know, you look at others, and you may look at lay persons, and you say, I want a closer relationship with the Lord. You know, this is your time. You have to study to show yourself approved. This is your time to actually reach out and let God speak unto you. So we're going to start out tonight as you get your swords. Never come unprepared to a battle. And then you need to make sure that you're bringing the right weapons to the battle according to what you're fighting for in your life tonight. So as we go through our scripture, it's going to be in 1 John 3:18, and then we're going to go into our song, and from there we will come back and be ready to present the word. Let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one that we love, the one that we place on the highest altar, the one that we know is the one that woke us up this morning, that touches our mind and keep us in a sound place and prevent us from just going crazy from all of the things that we deal with, the same one that provides protection for us, dear Father, the same one that enabled us to dress ourselves this morning, we want to say thank you. The same one that we can bring all of our cares to, all of our burdens, all of our troubles. And we can just leave Him there with you. And that same God that forgive us for our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And we say thank you. We invite you now, dear Father, to just come and just show us what it is that you have for us tonight. And I ask you to use me as your living vessel. And as we hear your word, may we receive your word. And as we receive it, may we be able to go out and give it unto others. In your darling Son's name, we thank you. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His perfect, in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. And He knows everything. We ask the Lord to just speak to us tonight, to just speak to our situations, to just speak in our lives. We'll be right back after the selection. We ask you to get your pen and your paper. Call someone. Let them know that Tri-Anointed Ministries is on and God is waiting to talk to you. The number is 646-652-4916. We will be opening up the lines a little later, and we also will be opening up the chat room in just a few minutes. God bless you. Enjoy what God has for you in this. God is trying to tell us all something right now. You know, sometimes we have no problem of getting a message loud and clear when it's something that the world is presenting to us. And we get that message and we know what they're trying to say to us and we have no problem. But then when God whispers into our hearts and he directs us to go a different pathway, and when he whispers something that leads us not into temptation, and we look back and we say, something told me not to do that this time and not to go there. But we have a hard time of just figuring out who it is that's protecting us, who it is that is leading us away from that danger. I come to tell you that God is trying to tell you something. And so many times we hear as you tell the stories of how you miraculously did not go down that same pathway that you travel every day. And had you went down that pathway today, it could have been your last day here. It could have led you into destruction. And as you tell the stories, we often hear of how you just decided not to go down that way today. How you decided to just get on up and just go to the doctor and have yourself checked today. It's all about us. We're always giving ourselves the credit for looking ahead in our lives and helping us, healing us, directing us, setting us free, getting out of relationships. We will say, well, I just got tired of being in a relationship, and one day I decided that I was going to get myself out of it. The Holy Spirit, God is always there. He's present, making a way for us out of no way. We cannot do these things without him. Let's stop denying, and let's start giving him credit. Let's start praising him for leading us in the pathway of his righteousness, leading us away from destruction, away from death, away from danger. And let's stop just taking it for granted that he's going to always be there to forever do those things for us when we do nothing for him. Well, we won't even stop and tell the world about his love, about how he has protected us. But we give ourselves the credit for that, or our friends, or our family. You cannot love or serve two gods. We're reminding each other about our 1 Corinthians 13 love. We were instructed on last evening to go out and all day today share some 1 Corinthians 13 love with someone. So how did it work for you today? Don't let it stop. Keep on going. You say, I missed out on the opportunity today, but you're still alive, so we can give God an applause. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You still have another opportunity. Let's start right now. Let's start living that. Let's start wrapping up around us. Now, he's going to, remember, you're going to have to choose. Am I going to let this upset me? Or am I going to display the love that God has been teaching me about? Remember, every time that you feel yourself angering, getting anger, that angry spirit is starting to just wrap itself around you, it's just a test. And just remind yourself, it's just a test. It's another test, another chance for me to prove to myself that I can follow God's righteousness. So you just have to, at that moment, choose not to let it upset you. And if you're upset, not to hold on to that anger. You have to decide, don't let you go over into a danger zone where you're out of control and you lose the battle. Because you're going to have to go around that mountain again and again and again until you get it right. And unfortunately, many of us leave this side, and we never get it right. Because you're just so used to that, it becomes a habit. But choose to not allow it to upset you. And if it upsets you, choose to not just lose control. Think about it. Think about what's going on, what's really behind this whole anger scene. Is it really about that situation that you think you're upset about? Go beyond that. You got to grow up. Stop being babies and start to learn to be a toddler for some time. Grow into an adolescent stage. Go into until you can get to a mature stage that you can look beyond that situation, what you think you're angry about. And look at it. You've been manipulated. You've been used by the enemy. So choose. Choose to love. Choose to love. Just think of the major impact which could be made in a world that's hungry for love. This world is hungry for love. Just for a moment, think about the major impact that each and every one of us could make on this world if we really became the people of Jesus Christ. We say that we know him and we love him, but if we really all start to follow his examples of life, of love. What a major impact it would be on this world that is just hungry for love. If we begin to love like Christ loved, hallelujah. If we begin to forgive like Christ has forgiven us, what a major impact it would be. There once was a rabbi, and it was this ancient rabbi, and he was standing before his students, and he asked his students, how could they tell when night had ended and day was on its way back? So again, the question to his students were, how can they tell when the night had ended and day was on its way back? So one of the students said, well, could it be that when you can see an animal in the distance, and when you can tell whether that animal is maybe a sheep or a goat, you know the daylight must be on its way because you can tell the difference. The rabbi answered and said, no, that's not it. Another student said, well, could it be that when you look at the trees in the distance, and then you can tell whether it's a fig tree or if it's a peach tree? And again, the rabbi replied, no, that's a good try, but no, that's not the answer I'm looking for. God bless you all in the chat room. God bless you. He said, no, that's still not it. So one of the students kind of demanded, then what is it then, Rabbi? What is it? How would we be able to tell when the daylight is on its way? The rabbi replied with the answer. He said, it is when you look on the face of any man or any woman, and then you can see that he or she is your brother or your sister. When you can look in the face of any man or woman, and what you see is your brother or your sister. Because if you cannot do that, then no matter what time it is, it's still night in your life. No matter what time it is, it's still night. So then, what are some of the marks by which love can be measured? We've got to be able to, if we're going to impact this world that's hungry for love, we've got to be able to look beyond skin color. We've got to be able to look beyond political views. We've got to be able to look beyond denominations. We've got to be able to look beyond the status of the titles that we hold. And we must still be able to see in each and every face, see our sister, see our brothers. So that means that when someone else is in need, you just don't walk past them and keep on going. As we spoke about how the priest did to the guy who had been robbed, and how the Samaritan actually stopped and cared for him, put him on his donkey, carried him into the next town, and even paid to have him cared for. We've got to be able to look into the eyes of all the disaster victims right now and be just as concerned for them as we would be if it was someone that we knew personally in our families. Because they are your sisters. They are your brothers. We've got to be more than just look at it on news and then just turn off and talk about this happened or that happened. But we have to be able to be concerned for them. Genuinely get up and get busy doing something to help one another. Genuinely get up, get on your knees and start to pray for them. If someone asks you to pray for them for this sickness, you got to be able to not just say, oh, I will pray for you, but you got to genuinely keep that thing on your mind and in your heart in prayer, just like it was you that's suffering from that ailment. Just like it's your mother, your sister, your brother, because they are your sisters, and they are your brothers. And if you cannot look at every man and every woman and in their faith see them as your sister or your brother. Then it doesn't matter what time it is. In your life, it's still nighttime. In your life, you're still living in darkness. Hallelujah. We got to show that 1 Corinthians 13 type of love. And I know we want to receive that type of love also. It will be enable you to love your enemies. See, the benchmark here comes from Matthew 5 and 43. You have to read that over again and put it in your heart. In fact, here's a reason for maturity or perfection. This expression is so far beyond the ordinary expression of natural love that there is no doubt that the Spirit of God is in work. He's working right inside of you right now. It's a very special kind of love manifestation. A very special kind of love manifestation. The Christian is to manifest. The Christian is to show, to act on. It's a very special, exceptional kind of life when we give 1 Corinthians 13 type of love. See, the person that's expressing this kind of love is exhibiting the kind of love that Jesus showed. Another example is, you know, with Stephen. As we look in Acts 7, verse 60 tells us about Stephen. He said, Lord, as they were stoning him, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. So that means as the person who's doing you wrong, if God told you to go and feed them, knock on their door with food and feed them, would you be able to do it? Or would you be able to remember so much? Would you harden your heart about what they've done to you that you would not be able to obey God's law? Are you still able to see that person, that their behavior was something that was wrong, that was something that was hurtful? But that brother, that person is still your brother, that person is still your sister. And regardless of how it plays out, you still need to pray for that person. You still need to love that person. See, it's easy to love those who are loving back to you. But I come to remind you that love changes the character of the person who loves. You simply cannot express this kind of love without being changed inside yourself. That is the power of this supreme fruit of the Spirit. See, it's not only objective, but it's subjective. There's too many people who have accepted Christ as their Savior who still have hearts that are hard and cold towards others. Here's the answer. As the Spirit of God works with the seed which has been planted, and the recipient is obedience, love action soon melts away any hardness of your heart. You would not be able to just sit there on that pew at church and won't even be able to shake your sister's hand next to you. You will no longer be able to go into your job, and because someone else has a behavior that you don't think is appropriate, that you can't talk to them. You don't want to share any information with them. They may be of another denomination from you. They may speak different from you. And we look down our nose at them. They may be from another country. Hallelujah. Their gender may be something that you don't agree with. But can you learn to look beyond the behavior of the people and look into their face and still be able to see that that's your sister, that that's your brother, and God is still expecting you to love them, to pray for them, to pray with them. The skin color may not match your skin color. Their culture may be something totally different from yours. you've still got to be able to love, get to know, share a little bit of yourself. You'll be surprised of how interesting some of the other cultures are. It's easy to love those who are willing to love you back. But how do you know that the person that you're considering as your enemy today, tomorrow is not going to be the one that's loving? Maybe the only person that's left in your corner. Every person that you have that you think is in your corner right now, that you just think that you definitely can count on, it's no guarantee that they will be there. It just depends on what you're going through. It depends on how long you're going to be going through it. If you don't believe me, get sick. If you don't believe me, go broke. See how long it'll last. They'll show up for the first trimester, if that long, and they'll give you a little words of encouragement from here and there. But it's hard to separate a person and their money. It's hard. You stand up sick and ask someone to come over daily and try to help you bathe, daily and try to fix you something to eat, or just clean up your house, or just carry on a little conversation, or listen to you as you cry. You'll find that after time goes on, they're no longer coming around. You'll find that it's at first when they found out that your loved one passed, that they all flood you down. And as time goes on, no one calls anymore. No one's concerned anymore. Everyone is doing their own thing now. But the person that you consider your enemy today may very well tomorrow be the only person that's in your corner to love you. Don't give up on anyone because God is not giving up on you. One prime example of how love works, we can look at the life of John, the beloved, also known as the apostle of love. All of his writings are filled with astonishment to love one another. Yet it was not always a character trait of John's. Perhaps you recall that on more than one occasion, Jesus had to deal with James and John, who was nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, right? See, John was more than willing to call fire down from heaven to destroy an entire Samaritan village. Well, this was anything but a loving attitude, right? On more than one occasion, he was more than willing to call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans. But then if you look and you continue to read, in the later years of his life, after the Spirit of Christ had been breathed into him, following the resurrection and years of following the teachings of Christ, if you look at his story then, all of that was changed in him. The thunder may have remained, but it became a passionate love for others, a supreme loyalty to Jesus Christ, and a love for the truth. Yes, see, when you love, and as you express love, you will experience a dynamic change in your own lifestyle. So keep on loving. Keep on expressing your love. Love is an action of the Spirit, and it's your obedience that takes you to higher grounds. If you keep on doing it, I promise you, you will be able to love the unlovable. There's lots and lots of people in this world who would not be considered maybe as your enemy per se. And the people may never do you no harm, yet these are the people whom we have a hard time loving. We might not hate them. We just dislike them. We dislike their behaviors. They may be like, when you think of them, it's almost like someone running their fingernails down a chalkboard in your mind. They're irritating. Who are these people, huh? Quite easily, these are the people you'd rather avoid being around. These are individuals as well as other class of people that we just don't like. It's just something about them. Maybe they're socially impaired. Maybe they're ill-mannered. Or maybe they're rude. Maybe they're just loud, slick, not trustworthy. Maybe they're from the, as people used to say, the other side of the tracks. Maybe they look different from you. Maybe they dress a little different. For whatever reason, without the manifestation of love, a 1 Corinthians 13 type of love, we wouldn't have any missionaries. We wouldn't be, it would be no need for any hospitals. Would we have any churches that build colonies where lepers could be cared for? No. Would there be any hospice ministries without 1 Corinthians 13 type of love? No, it wouldn't. There would be no ministries to AIDS victims. There would be no shelters for abused women and children. There would be none at all. Should Christians go the second mile? When you're in need of being loved, genuinely loved, when you're in need of 1 Corinthians 13 love, that's when you want someone to be there. You want people to pull out all of heaven and whatever they have to do to get to you to exhibit that love in your life. But are you just as anxious to give that love? That's what God is trying to bring to your attention today. Trying to show you the importance of giving as well as receiving. And that we all need it. He's trying to remind you to look beyond the behavior of those people that's hard to love. And just love them anyway. And when you're praying for them, not necessarily pray that they stop being loud. Pray that they stop getting on your nerves. But no, pray from beyond that, behind that. Pray for their heart to be set free, to be delivered to you. Pray for their salvation. Pray that they get a yearning in their life to run wholeheartedly seeking the Lord. When you pray those type of prayers, that's when you see some difference in the person's life. That's when you begin feeling different about them. Hallelujah. So the crucial test is the capacity to love all kinds of people. It is the fruit of the Spirit at work, making real changes in this world. Remember, this world that is hungry for love. When we use the fruit of the Spirit of love, when the manifestation of that love has grown inside of us, and we're just bursting open, that's when the world can receive, and it spills onto the world. All of the people of the world, one by one. It's a little short paragraph. You may have read past it too. The author is unknown. It just says, I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight, that to somebody's need I was blind, but I never have yet felt the twinge of regret for being a little too kind. Hallelujah. I don't regret any time that I've been kind to somebody. And you hear from time to time, people will say, well, I should not have even did that for them. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't feel that way. You should never regret doing what you're supposed to be doing. So if you're willing to deny what you're supposed to be doing because someone did not react the way that you expected them to react, and it should have been the proper way to react, that and they did not do it, don't change the way that you're living. Don't change and get off of your pathway of righteousness. Don't you fall in a pit of destruction because someone's behavior is not what you think it should be, or someone's behavior is not what it should be. If they're not exhibiting that behavior today, you keep on. Hallelujah. I know that's not easy, but you keep on. You keep on doing. You said, but I'm going to be looking like a fool. I will feel like a fool. Set your feelings aside. Set aside what you think you look like. And you put on the robe of love. And you put on God's glory. And you ask God to allow you to see yourself with His glory wrapped around you. Ask God to show you yourself with His love all over you. You won't see a fool. God is nobody's fool. God is nobody's flunky. Hallelujah. Don't be shortness of sight because you know that you've been called to go provide for someone, to be there to help someone in need. Don't turn a blind eye because something else became more important. And you're thinking, oh, well, somebody else will go do it. You are that somebody else. You are that somebody else. You say, well, I'm late. Better late than never. They're waiting on you. Somebody's praying for you right now to show up in their life and deliver to them what God has put in your hands to give to them. But for whatever reason, you've decided that you don't like their behavior. You decided that they're not going to appreciate it. Whatever it is that you have decided is your reason why you're going to disobey God's word. Remember, you have needs that are beyond what money can buy. You have needs that are beyond what your spouse can provide. Beyond whether the ones that you think are always going to be there in your corner. It's beyond what they're able to give to you. And God has someone set aside, and He has your blessings in their hands right now. And the same way that you're being disobedient and neglecting to carry through God's will to provide for someone, and it may just be a kind word to someone that would make all the difference, the same thing is going to apply to you. The same thing. But when you pick up God's love and you start practicing daily, you will be able to live an unselfish life. That means you say, well, I don't care. You know, I really didn't even like being around people. You know, I feel so self-conscious, and people are saying this and saying that, and I just don't want to be bothered with it. But when you start practicing, you find yourself, you feel totally different about people. You will get the opportunity, and you will enjoy the opportunity to just walk through a room and know that you're praying for each and every person in here. You're praying for their hearts. As you're traveling to work, that you're just praying for every vehicle that comes in your sight. You're praying for every person that is represented in there, in those vehicles, and their households. You just start getting a joy out of finding situations to pray over. You will be able to live an unselfish life. One of the major curses of our day is this obnoxious trend to me-versism. me first. We got a me first generation. We need to admit it and come clean. We're being drowned in our own gross selfishness. You can go to any bookstore and look at the self-help shelves. You can tune into any of the TV or radio talk shows. Go to any entertainment venue and you'll see how we have immersed ourselves in pleasing, number one, us. Just because you have become a Christian doesn't mean that you are free from selfishness, that you're free from pride. Lots of Christians are fighting this battle. Hallelujah. We're going to pick up tomorrow right here where we left off, and we're going to step into the spirit of forgiveness as we finish this off. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to just repeat the words after me. Jesus Christ, oh God, I love you and I thank you for who you are. I believe that you gave your only son and he died for us. And I thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I invite you to come and live inside of my life. I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins.